is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The founders and equal opportunity. It is the subject of a new book that takes us from the founding of the United States of America to right now by David Davenport and the late Gordon Lloyd. Equality of opportunity turns out to be a debating point for several hundred years, a complete revelation to me. So we'll go to two independent observers of the New Republic. This would be a man named de Crèvecoeur, who died in 1813, and a man named de Tocqueville, who died in 1859. Father and son, think of them that way. De Crèvecoeur died just about the same time Tocqueville was born. And the quote from de Tocqueville is vivid, equality of conditions. The quote from de Crèvecoeur, who worked in America as a farmer before observing this new republic, is more nuanced. From involuntary idleness, rewarded by ample subsistence. In other words, the sweat of your brow makes you free. David Davenport is here to help us understand what the founders believed was their achievement, what the conditions were around them in the 18th century that they meant to found a new republic to help the people who lived there get free of in Europe. Mike, David, a very good evening to you. What worried the founders, James Madison particularly? Good evening to you.
John, always good to be with you. And yes, equality of opportunity has been, you know, part of the American philosophy really since the founding, although the founders didn't use that exact term. And it's still being debated today. And so that's why we wrote this book. And the founders' big concern was the inequality, if you will, a certain kind of inequality that's probably a little different than what we're debating today. Their concern was the inequality created in Europe by caste and class. And they wanted to found a republic where, as they said in the Declaration, all men, and we could add women later, are created equal and able to pursue in their own way life, liberty, and happiness. So the founders thought equality in America would be something that you had. It was a natural right. Equality was something you moved from into your own pursuit of happiness. And as I said, the inequality that they were pushing against was the caste and class of Europe. And that's exactly what de Crèvecoeur and our friend Mr. Tocqueville observed, that the difference between the rich and poor in America was not so great. And there were not pre-assigned classes and conditions, but people were free by the sweat of their brow and by the availability of free land to develop their own pursuit of happiness.
The two Frenchmen are important to me, David, in reading your book, because they were both aristocrats. Both came from Normandy. And so they were disposed to live in a world of elitism. And yet their experience in America, de Crèvecoeur much longer than de Tocqueville, gave them to understand that Americans were acting in a way that they weren't familiar with. It didn't exist in Europe. Now, the threat, of course, was James Madison. David does us the favor of telling us what Federalist paper. Number 10, what did he discover in, what is in number 10 that worries Madison and the other founders?
Madison, especially, and as you say, the other founders, were worried about having small groups of people or even the majority of people impose themselves on others. And so Federalist number 10 tries to set up a way in which there can be both liberty and equality. There can be both a system that protects majority rights through the Republican form of government, but it also protects minority rights. And that's the kind of equality that Madison and the founders thought could be defended and protected by the Republican form of government, not the monarchy. And at the other extreme, not pure democracy. The founders were very suspicious of pure democracy, but the Republican form would allow the protection of both majority and minority rights and thereby protect equality.
So equality of opportunity was meant to say there are no superior creatures here. You all have a chance to make something of yourself. That was possible because of the understanding of America as free land or land to be developed. Later on, yes. We'll have the West, but initially it was to the Appalachian Mountains. Did that free them? Did they talk about that the way they do later in the 19th century, free land?
I would say no. The founders were, I think, speaking more philosophically. They were great students of political science and government. And I would say that the emphasis on free land came later, when especially Frederick Jackson Turner, a scholar from the University of Wisconsin, talked about how that really changed the whole American culture. But the founders were really political scientists in an amazing and perceptive way. And so it was really political science. And the early practitioners, such as Madison, who set out this Republican form that would provide the necessary protection, I would say more than free land.
The shortfall of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence was that all men were not free in America. Slaves, in particular, were Correct. Not free. So we come Correct. To Abraham Lincoln and his adjustment of equality of opportunity. He talks of a new birth of freedom. How to interpret that, David?
Well, I think it's very important to ask ourselves at different points in history, when we think about equality of opportunity, what kind of inequality are we concerned about? So you're right, the founders were mostly concerned about caste and class from the Europe that they had left behind. Lincoln, of course, in the Civil War was concerned about the inequality of slavery. And so Lincoln's idea of equality had to expand to a new freedom for those who had been slaves. And an amendment was passed, the 13th Amendment, to guarantee that, and other amendments to guarantee voting rights and so forth for slaves. And the other thing that Lincoln did that I think is so important to our narrative is he did expand federal power in the equality area. And so states weren't free to make their own decisions about slavery, for example. That was now going to be a federal matter. So Lincoln took up a different form of inequality than the founders had been concerned about, slavery. And he essentially federalized some of these equality questions and thereby created a new freedom, a broader freedom, a broader equality.
You present the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments as completing the work of founders. Do I read that correctly? They were the openers, the amendments were the closers.
Yes, although I think there is a quite interesting historical debate that we were not able to resolve in our little book. And that is, did Lincoln really see himself as completing the founding, or did he see himself fundamentally as starting something new? Certainly federalizing many of these questions became the base on which the progressives would later build. So there is a sense in which Lincoln started something new, but in extending rights that we had not been able to sort out at the time of the founding. As you well know, the founders were not able to solve the slavery question, and they moved ahead in spite of that. So he was completing the founding, but then I think in federalizing a lot of these equality questions, especially say the 14th Amendment, which speaks of equality for the first time in the Constitution, he's also laid a new foundation on which the progressives and others would later build.
In other words, this
so
might
I'd say this, he did both. He finished the founding, but he also laid a new foundation.
This might be the new nationalism. You don't answer that question, but it might be here.
Exactly. I think there's a very good argument to that effect that whether he intended to or not, he created a platform on which the new nationalism would later be built by progressives.
Equality of opportunity in the 18th century means something different than equality of opportunity in the 19th century. And we're headed to the 20th century with Woodrow Wilson. The book is Equality of Opportunity, A Century of Debate by David Davenport, Research Fellow Emeritus at the Hoover Institution, and the late Professor Gordon Lloyd. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Powell.